Breaking the Availability Barrier, Volume 1, Survivable Systems for Enterprise Computing. Chapter 1, The Nines Game. True or False? Adding processors to a multiprocessor redundant system increases its reliability. True or False? A 16-processor redundant system has the reliability of a Unix box. True or false, a fault-tolerant processor board is less reliable than a Unix processor board. The above are indeed provocative questions, and their answers are not straightforward. This chapter develops some simple, though not necessarily intuitive, concepts that help answer these and other questions. More importantly, such concepts lead to some straightforward steps that you can take to improve the reliability of your system. Steps as simple as being aware of how you allocate processes to processors. What is reliability? The questions above all refer to reliability. But before we go much further, we have to agree on how to measure reliability. There are actually two components that impact the reliability of a system: how long it will work before it fails, and how long it will take to fix. We call the first component the mean time between failures, or MTBF, and the second the mean time to repair, or MTR. To a space satellite designer, reliability is MTBF. Once the satellite fails, it is gone forever. It is not repairable. Clearly, a satellite with a 10-year MTBF is 10 times more reliable than a satellite with a 1-year MTBF. However, when it comes to life and property protection, reliability is MTR. In a 911 system, an outage of 30 seconds may be simply an aggravating hiatus, but an outage of 1 hour can mean death by a cardiac arrest or a building burned to the ground. In large transaction processing systems, reliability is often measured as downtime. Downtime has a cost associated with it, perhaps $1,000 per hour, or perhaps $100,000 per hour. Of course, MTR plays a role here as well. The longer the downtime, the higher the cost in many cases, from customer annoyance to lost sales to lost customers. Downtime alternatively can be measured as the proportion of time that the system is up, a measure that we call the availability of the system. The system will be down for an average period of the system repair time, which we call MTR, for every failure. Failures occur on the average after a time of the mean time between failure, which we call MTBF. Therefore, the probability that the system will be down is the system repair time divided by the system mean time before failure, or MTR divided by MTBF. For instance, if the system fails on the average every 4,000 hours, or MTBF, and takes on the average 4 hours to repair, or MTR, then the probability that the system will be down is 4 divided by 4,000, or 0.001. This is 0.1%. The availability of the system is the amount of time that it is up. Since the system is either down or up, the probability that the system will be up is 1 minus the probability that it will be down. Thus, availability is equal to 1 minus MTR divided by MTBF. If the probability of the system being down is 0.001, then the probability that it will be up is 0.999, or 99.9%. That is, the system availability is 99.9%. It is availability that this chapter is all about. When we speak of reliability, we mean availability. A system with 99.9% availability is more reliable than the system with 99% availability. Consider system A, which is up 99% of the time, and system B, which is up 99.9% of the time. System A has a failure probability of 0.001. System B has a failure probability of 0.001. Thus, we say that system B is 10 times more reliable than system A. This is how we will use the term reliability throughout this chapter. There is some algebra used in this chapter to develop availability concepts. If you are algebraically challenged, do not despair. Just skip the math and grasp the concepts. The concepts are clearly stated as 8 rules and don't depend upon the math for understanding. Charts and tables are provided in the book so that you can use these relationships without ever breaking out a calculator. If you do want to follow the math, it is suggested that after every equation that is described, you pause the audio and write down the equation. That way, you will have it for easy reference later in the chapter. Also, we are interested in developing concepts and rules of thumb. This requires that we take a simplistic view of things. You will be tempted to say, "Yes, but my system does this," or "You haven't considered that." True, but we are taking a 50,000-foot view of things in order to develop some general concepts. Moreover, the concepts developed will allow those of you who are motivated to drop down to a 5,000-foot view. A 500-foot view, however, is probably obscured by a lack of good data and too many trees in your way. The simplistic view presented in this chapter is most applicable to repairable systems. Software failures generally are recovered rather than repaired. They are more complex and are considered in Chapter 5. When we calculate availability for today's systems, we will get numbers like 0.99999. Saying this gets cumbersome and can lose the meaning, so we talk about availability in terms of the number of nines. 0.99999 is 5 nines. 0.998 is a little less than 3 nines. 0.99992 is a little more than 4 nines. Though we will speak of nines, this measure can be converted to average downtime over any given period. For instance, 2 nines, or 99% availability, represents 88 hours of downtime per year. 3 nines, or 99.9% availability, represents 8.8 hours of downtime per year. 4 nines represents 53 minutes of downtime per year. 5 nines represents 5.3 minutes of downtime per year. 6 nines represents 32 seconds of downtime per year. A good way to remember this table is that 5 nines is 5 minutes of downtime per year. Of course, an availability of 3 nines does not mean that the system will be down 8.8 hours each year. It means that over a sufficiently long period of time, one can expect that the system will be down an average of 8 or 9 hours per year. This could occur as short 1-minute failures every 17 hours, or as a 1-day failure every 3 years. Specifically, knowing the availability tells us nothing about the MTBF or MTR. but knowing the availability in either the MTBF or the MTR tells us the other. More to the point, from our previous discussion, we can deduce that the mean time between failures MTBF is equal to the mean time to repair MTR divided by 1 minus the availability. Likewise, the mean time to repair MTR is equal to the mean time between failures MTF multiplied by 1 minus the availability. Thus, if we know that our availability is 3 nines and we have an MTR of 4 hours, we have an MTBF of 4 divided by 0.001, or 4,000 hours. How do today's systems rate so far as availability is concerned? Results compiled by the Gartner Group indicate the following availabilities. HP non-stoppers have an availability of 4 nines. Mainframes have an availability of 3 nines. Open VMS systems have an availability of 0.998. AS400 systems have an availability also of 0.998. HPUX systems have an availability of 0.996. Solaris systems have an availability of 0.995. NT clusters have an availability of 0.992 to 0.995. Thus, mainframes are 4 to 5 times more reliable than Unix systems, and HP non-stop systems are 10 times more reliable than mainframes. These availabilities represent all causes of failure: hardware failures, operating system faults, application bugs, human errors, and environmental failures such as power or cabling. Let us start our conceptual journey by looking at the two simplest system architectures and by reviewing a little probability theory. We consider a system as being made up of subsystems. Let us use capital A to denote the availability of the system, which we will call big A. We will use lowercase a to denote the availability of a subsystem, which we will call little a. We first consider a non-redundant system. The system comprises two subsystems, subsystem 1 and subsystem 2. Subsystem 1 has an availability of little a1, and subsystem 2 has an availability of little a2. In order that the entire system be operational, both subsystem 1 and subsystem 2 must be operational. That is, the probability that the system will be up is the probability that subsystem 1 is up multiplied by the probability that subsystem 2 is up. Thus, the system availability, big A, is equal to little a1 times little a2. This leads us to our first rule of availability. Rule 1. If all subsystems must be operational, then the availability of the system is the product of the availabilities of its subsystems. For redundant systems, consider a system comprising two identical subsystems, each with an availability of little a. In this case, the system is operational if either subsystem 1 is operational or subsystem 2 is operational. In order for the system to be down, both system 1 and system 2 must be down. Since the probability that either subsystem will be down is 1 minus the subsystem availability, that is, 1 minus little a, the probability that both subsystems will be down is the quantity 1 minus little a squared. The system availability is 1 minus this quantity, or 1 minus the quantity 1 minus little a squared. Let us explore this redundant relationship a little further. If the subsystem availability is 0.99, and if we add an additional subsystem so that we have a spare subsystem, then the system availability of the resulting redundant system is big A equals 1 minus 0.01 times 0.01, which is equal to 0.9999, or 4 nines. Note that we have doubled the nines from a subsystem availability of 2 nines to a system availability of 4 nines. This is the beauty of redundant systems and leads us to our second rule. Rule 2, providing a backup doubles the nines. This is the basis for the high reliability of fault-tolerant systems and for the even higher reliability that can be achieved by replicating a system using data replication techniques, which we will talk about more in Chapter 2. Redundant systems are the basis for the high availability and high scalability as well of fault-tolerant systems. But these systems are a bit more complex than the simple systems that we have just considered. For one, they comprise multiple redundant subsystems, processors, processes, disks, and communications. Also, processes critical to system operation are replicated as process pairs. And finally, processes are distributed randomly across processors, usually to satisfy load balancing considerations. Consistent with our 50,000-foot view, we will consider a fault-tolerant system as a single group of like subsystems. Therefore, a subsystem is a processor and its collection of disks and other peripherals. Certainly, in a real system, each system will be somewhat different, since different processors will have associated with them different numbers of devices. But our assumption that all subsystems are similar is warranted by the simplification that allow us to develop some general concepts. Furthermore, we will assume a subsystem availability of 0.995. This is close to the subsystem availability of 0.996 reported to one of the authors by Tandem Computers in the mid-1990s. Today's systems undoubtedly comprise more reliable components and are manufactured using higher quality techniques, but they are also more complex. It is therefore assumed that a subsystem availability of 0.995 is still in the ballpark. Note that this value for availability includes all sources of failure: hardware failures, operating system faults, software, application bugs, maintenance, human errors, and operations. More about that in Chapter 5. So far as availability is concerned, the heart of a fault-tolerant system is its critical processes. The loss of any one of these processes will cause a system failure, either immediately or after a short period of time due to system degradation. For instance, in HP nonstop servers, critical processes include the disk processes, the pathway monitor, and a slew of monitors for communication and other subsystems. Therefore, these processes are provided as processor pairs, with each process running in a different processor, so that they will survive any single processor failure. Coupled with transaction protection that guarantees that no data will be corrupted as a result of a fault, these features provide the high availability for which fault-tolerant systems are known. But a dual processor failure may still take down a critical process pair and result in a system outage. Let us take a look at a system with four processor subsystems in which critical processes are randomly distributed across all processors so that any dual processor failure will take down the system. There are six possible ways that two out of four processors can fail. We call these failure modes. Since any given two processors will fail with a probability of 1 minus little a squared, and since there are six ways that this can happen, then the system will fail with a probability of 6 times 1 minus little a squared. Thus, the system availability, big A, is 6 times the quantity 1 minus little a squared. You can probably figure out that for n processors, the number of failure modes is n times n minus 1 divided by 2. For the above example, n equal 4, the number of failure modes is 4 times 3 divided by 2, which is equal to 6. An alternate strategy for distributing process pairs is to organize processors into pairs. And process pairs are constrained to run only in processor pairs. For a four-processor system, now there are only two failure modes. Either the first pair of processors must fail, or the second pair must fail in order to cause a system failure. Thus, the availability of this configuration, big A, is 1 minus 2 times 1 minus little a squared. This configuration has 3 times the reliability of the randomly distributed configuration. In general, for n subsystems, the number of failure modes is n divided by 2 for this strategy, and reliability is improved by a factor of n minus 1 relative to random process distributions. In fact, the advantage of process-processor pairing gets better as the system gets larger. Consider an 8-processor system. For random distribution of process pairs, there are 28 failure modes. For paired distribution of process pairs, there are 4 failure modes. For an 8-processor system, a paired configuration is 7 times as reliable as a random configuration. For a 16-processor system, reliability is improved by a factor of 15. This leads us to Rule 3. Rule 3, system reliability is inversely proportional to the number of failure modes. And Rule 4, organize processors into pairs and allocate each process pair only to a processor pair. We have seen that the failure probability is proportional to the number of failure modes. Thus, letting F be the number of failure modes, we may write the system availability, big A, is equal to 1 minus F times the quantity 1 minus little a squared. This relationship assumes that each process is backed up by only one other process. We can consider the backup process as a spare, which is put into service if the primary process fails. But what if we have two spares? Then any given failure occurs only with a probability of 1 minus little a cubed, since 3 subsystems must fail in order to take down the system. In general, if we have S spares, then the system will fail only if we have S plus 1 subsystem failures. Any particular failure of S plus 1 subsystems will occur with a probability of quantity 1 minus little a raised to the S plus 1 power. And the system availability, big A, becomes 1 minus F times 1 minus little a to the S plus 1 power. This is our general availability equation. Note that it reduces to our earlier simple example for F equals 1 and S equals 1. This result can be expressed as Rule 5. If a system can withstand the failure of S subsystems, then the probability of failure of the system is the product of the probability of failures of S plus 1 subsystems. There is one assumption that is inherent in our discussion so far, and that is that the system is returned to service as soon as a failed subsystem has been repaired. It needs no further recovery. This assumption is explored further in Chapter 5, The Facts of Life. Note that from this relationship, reliability increases exponentially with the number of spares. If the availability of a subsystem is 0.99, each additional level of sparing adds another 2 nines to the system availability. Single sparing gives a system availability of 4 nines. Double sparing gives a system availability of 6 nines, and so on. This leads us to Rule 6. Rule 6. System availability increases dramatically with increased sparing. Each additional level of sparing adds a subsystem's worth of nines to the overall system availability. How do we increase process sparing in fault-tolerant systems? There are several methods. For process pairs, i.e. a primary process with a backup process waiting to take over in the event of a primary process failure, allow a process to start a new backup in a surviving processor if the process loses its backup due to a processor failure. For persistent processes that are restarted in another processor by a monitor, give the monitor the choice of more than two processors in which to restart the process. Of course, the monitor must be redundant as well. Or design the application to allow more than one actor process or more than one backup process. As we have discussed, the worst case for availability is a random distribution of processes, since in this case, any pair of processor failures will take the system down. For N subsystems and S spares, the number of failure modes for this case is the number of ways that S plus 1 subsystems can fail out of N systems. These maximum values for F are shown in a convenient table, table 1-2, in the book. This table shows that the maximum number of failure modes for a single spared 16 processor system is 120. If we add a spare to give two spares, the number of failure modes increases from 120 to 560. However, this increase is more than compensated for by the extra nines afforded by the second spare. However, we know that if we pair processors and processes, we can reduce the number of failure modes with a single spare from 120 to 8, a 15-to-1 reduction, as we have earlier noted. Since reliability is inversely proportional to the number of failure modes, our Rule 3, we can lose more than a 9 from our achievable availability for a 16 processor system if we are not careful with process allocation. More about this later. So far, we have talked about availability as the predominant measure of reliability. But as we indicated in the opening to this chapter, the system mean time to repair, MTR, is often an equally important parameter. Let us look at system MTR and its relation to subsystem mean time to repair. If you are writing down the equations as I speak them, I suggest you use capital letters for system MTBF and system MTR, and lowercase letters for subsystem MTBF and subsystem MTR. We can express subsystem availability in terms of subsystem MTBF and subsystem MTR. Subsystem availability, or little a, is equal to 1 minus subsystem MTR divided by subsystem MTBF. From our earlier relationship, it stated that system availability, big A, is equal to 1 minus the number of failure modes, F, times the quantity 1 minus little a raised to the S plus 1 power, where S is the number of spares. We now have the big A is equal to 1 minus F times the quantity subsystem MTR divided by subsystem MTBF raised to the S plus 1 power. We see that reliability is exponentially affected by subsystem MTR. For one spare, S equal 1, the system probability will be cut by a factor of 4 if we can cut subsystem MTR in half. But how does subsystem MTR affect the overall system MTR and its MTBF? It can be shown that if failed subsystems are being repaired in parallel, system MTR is equal to subsystem MTR divided by S plus 1, where S is the number of spares. For instance, if there is one spare and subsystem MTR is 1 hour, there will be an average of 2 repairs per hour for parallel repair. For one spare, system MTR is half the subsystem MTR. Thus, for one spare, if our subsystem MTR is 4 hours, then our system MTR is 2 hours. This assumes that the repairs of multiple subsystems are independent of each other. This leads us to Rule 7. For a single spare system, the system MTR is 1/2 the subsystem MTR for parallel repair. Furthermore, if we reduce subsystem MTR by a factor of K, we reduce system MTR by a factor of K. Since the failure probability will be reduced by K squared, we can conclude that we will increase our system MTBF by a factor of K. This leads us to Rule 8. For the case of a single spare, cutting subsystem MTR by a factor of K will reduce system MTR by a factor of K and increase the system MTBF by a factor of K, thus increasing system reliability by a factor of K squared. For instance, let us say that our system has an MTBF of 5 years and a subsystem MTR of 4 hours, leading to a system MTR of 2 hours. If we can cut MTR in half to 2 hours, our system MTR will be reduced to 1 hour, and our system MTBF will be increased to 10 years. Our reliability has increased by a factor of 4, as indicated earlier. Figures 1-5 and 1-6 in the book show some helpful charts. Figure 1-5 shows system availability for a subsystem availability of 0.995. as a function of the number of processors and the number of spares for random distribution of processes. It shows that no matter the number of processors, each additional spare has about 2/9 of the system availability. Figure 1-6 shows availability as a function of spares and failure modes. Looking at process pairing in random distribution for 16 processors, it shows that for process pairing, in other words, F equal 8, system availability is almost 4/9. For random distribution, where the number of failure modes F equals 120, system availability is about 2.5/9. My, that's about the availability of a Unix box. Let's return to our initial provocative statements. First, adding processors to a multiprocessor redundant system increases reliability. Well, it all depends. If sparing remains the same, then the number of failure modes increases and reliability decreases. However, if the extra processors are used to increase sparing, then reliability can dramatically increase. However, since we don't generally change the design of the system when we add processors, this statement is typically false. Adding processors reduces reliability. Second, a 16 processor redundant system has the reliability of a Unix box. Again, it all depends. If you are distributing processes randomly, then this is true as calculated earlier. However, if you are intelligent in the way you distribute processes, your system reliability will beat that of a Unix system by an order of magnitude or more. So hopefully, your answer to this is false. Third, a fault-tolerant processor board is less reliable than a Unix processor board. The answer to this one is probably true, but so what? In order to build a truly fault-tolerant systems, all components, both hardware and software, must be fail-fast so the corrupted data does not get propagated. To achieve this, fault-tolerant processor boards often use a pair of onboard lockstep processors which continually compare results. If there is a mismatch, the processor board shuts down immediately and another processor takes over. Thus, the processor board can fail if either onboard processor fails, giving two failure modes instead of one for the Unix processor. Given comparable component and manufacturing quality and comparable component count per processor, we expect the fault-tolerant processor board to fail twice as often as a Unix processor. But this is a trivial price to pay for the ultimate fault tolerance provided. A fault-tolerant architecture beats non-fault-tolerant architectures by two nines or more, 100 times more reliable. We summarize the concepts presented above by considering how we might improve reliability. Our general availability relationships state that big A is equal to 1 minus system MTR divided by system MTBF. We can also write this as big A equals 1 minus F times the quantity 1 minus A to the S plus 1 power, which is 1 minus F times the quantity system MTR over system MTBF raised to the S plus 1 power. System MTR equals subsystem MTR divided by S plus 1 for parallel repairs. From the above equations, we can also determine that system MTBF equals subsystem MTBF divided by F times S plus 1 times the quantity MTBF subsystem MTBF divided by subsystem MTR raised to the S power. These expressions relate system availability A, system mean time to repair MTR, and the system mean time before failure MTBF to four parameters around which we can get our hands: subsystem MTBF, subsystem MTR, the number of spares F, and the number of failure modes F. MTBF, subsystem mean time before failure, is out of our control. Not much we can do about that. Subsystem MTR, reductions in subsystem repair time have an exponential impact on availability. In a one spare system, cutting subsystem repair time in half provides a fourfold improvement in reliability. Cutting it by a factor of 10 provides 100 times more reliability, 2 9s on the availability scale. Consider a tighter service level agreement or, for large users, on-site spares and on-site maintenance. The number of spares, F. There's not much that we as users can do to increase sparing of manufacturer-supplied critical processes. The fault-tolerant system vendor must decide that the significant software development effort to do this is worthwhile. Until this step is taken, there's not much sense in critical application processes being written with sparing in excess of one. The number of failure modes, F. But we can control the number of failure modes. As we have shown, the intelligent distribution of critical processes can reduce failure rates significantly. If we work at it, we can actually pick up 1 or 2 9s. So to increase system availability, work on reducing subsystem MTR and the subsystem number of failure modes, F. We see that we can achieve an availability of 4 9s with our fault-tolerant systems if we can keep the failure modes to 5 or less. Isn't this enough? The Standish Group has defined the following application categories and their required availability. Non-critical applications require 2 9s of availability. Task-critical applications require 3 9s of availability. Business critical applications require 4 9s of availability. Mission critical applications require 5 9s of availability. Safety critical applications require 6 9s of availability. So if you have a need that you might characterize as business critical, mission critical, or safety critical, you had better mind your 9s. Amtrak provided a real-life case study of the above concepts with their real-time train control system for the busy Northeast Corridor. Amtrak's system uses a non-stop system to monitor and control trains via a duplex communication link to trackside devices such as signals, switches, and track occupancy detectors. A redundant console system is used by the train dispatchers to monitor and direct train traffic. A detailed analysis of the system availability predicted a system availability of 0.9995. Not bad. Unfortunately, the specifications for the system required an availability of 0.9998. The design had missed the reliability mark by a factor of 2.5. To make matters worse, this was a fixed price contract and the system was not going to be accepted unless the availability requirement was met. It was clear that the culprit was the 8-processor nonstop system that had an availability of 0.99952 based on the worst case of 28 failure modes. However, a little algebra showed that if the number of failure modes were reduced to 12, the specification would be met. Process allocation guidelines were put in place and the system was accepted. This was an inexpensive fix to a potentially very expensive problem and used the concepts discussed in this chapter. Bear in mind that all we have really talked about so far our general availability concepts as applied to redundant hardware systems. The consideration of faults caused by software and human errors is a much more complex subject, which is considered in Chapter 5, The Facts of Life. In Chapter 2, Splitting Systems, we explore in more depth the availability considerations and advantages of replicating and splitting systems.